وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters in Islam, after you reply with the salam, refrain from typing anything unless asked to do so. As you know, my problem. Today or tonight, depending on where you are in the world, we will be addressing a very, very critical issue. It has also become controversial, even though it should not even be something that we address. The thing which we are discussing now is something which I'm not even supposed to address. It shouldn't even take part of our time. However, unfortunately, and by Allah's decree, we have reached such a time in the Ummah, in this Islamic nation, we have reached such a level of strangeness that such an issue has to be addressed. You are probably wondering, what am I speaking about? What is it that shouldn't be addressed yet will be addressed right now? It is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you believe that there has emerged among the Muslims, if we can still call them Muslims, a group of people who call themselves Qur'aniyun? Qur'aniyun. And as you can tell, it comes from the word Qur'an. And Qur'an is the book which we believe Allah sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Qur'aniyun is the plural possessive. Meaning the Qur'aniyun are the Qur'anites. In English, just so you can get a little tips on da'wah terminology, you will often find that whenever you want to convert an Arabic word to English, it's specifically when it deals with names and titles of groups, you will add at the end like I-T-E-S, like Ash'ari, Ash'arites, Mu'tazili, Mu'tazilites, Murji'a, Murji'ites, Shia, Shi'ites, and so on and so forth. Qur'aniyun, Qur'anites. These are individuals who say they only believe in the Qur'an. However, they do not believe that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is means of guidance, is the source of revelation, or is part of the Islamic teachings. Because they claim that the sunnah has not been preserved and protected due to the fact that we have fabricated narrations, weak narrations, inauthentic narrations, and what have you. Whereas the Quran does not have these issues. So they said, okay, we like to be safe. We're safe people. So we will believe in the Quran alone, and we will set aside or ignore or disregard, even if they say it's respectfully being done, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the amazing fact that you and I should be aware of is the fact that the scholars of Islam whom Allah commanded us to refer to, declare these people as non-Muslims. Key word or key prefix: none. N-O-N. Not the nun at church. Non-Muslims, they're not Muslims. Anyone who denies the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has denied Islam. These two can never be separated. Why? Why do we make such a claim, and why do we address such an issue? Brothers and sisters in Islam, let us look at things from a number of perspectives. First and foremost, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed His spoken word. Allah's speech is the Quran. The book of Allah, the Quran, is the speech of Allah, words which Allah Azza wa Jal uttered, words which Allah Azza wa Jal said. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought this revelation down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he revealed it. He was the means of revelation from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. The trustworthy ruh, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, came down with it upon your heart so you may be among the warners. So you may be among the warners. Now, when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will find in the very Quran which we read, ayat, commonly translated as verses, which command the believers to obey Allah and obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay. According to this claim of the Quranites, if we were only to believe in the Quran, then the part where Allah says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, Allah says in the Quran, and obey Allah and obey His Messenger. The part in which Allah said, obey Allah, they say is the Quran, no problem. But what about the part where Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, and obey the Messenger? How would this obedience be carried out if there were no commands from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Pay attention. Ati'u Allah. Allah commands, believers act accordingly. Allah commands, believers act accordingly. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded to be, the believers are commanded to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would that happen if there wasn't a command coming from him? So the meaning of the ayah will become ineffective, it will be meaningless, unless the Prophet ﷺ gave commands as well. One second. Somebody keeps trying to chat with me, it's my fault I didn't turn off this Google. Google chat, see you later buddy. Bye bye. Oof, Allah musta'an. Anywho. Obey Allah, that's the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there must be a command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He must have commanded. Now, do you find, can any one of you pull out a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran? Can anyone derive or quote or cite a single ayah where the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the Quran? You will not be able to find one, because the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not in the Quran. His commands are not. There are times where Allah spoke on His behalf. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Prophet said, oh my Lord, verily my people have taken this Quran as something abandoned, something deserted. That's a complaint. But the command which He gave to the Sahaba, you will not find them in the Quran. So when Allah says, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, the only way you can understand the part of the ayah which says, obey the Messenger, is if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave commands. So the Quran and the Sunnah are revelation. Allah says in the Quran, وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have sent down upon you the reminder so that you may clarify to the people what was sent down to them. Listen to the ayah. This is in Surah An-Nahl. This is in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 44. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we send down upon you the reminder so you may clarify to the people what was sent down to them and perhaps they may reflect. How was that? How was that? If there was no hadith, if there was no narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there were no such narrations, then how would Allah say, we send down the Quran, the dhikr, so you may clarify to the people? Meaning, there are things in the Quran which you can never understand unless the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains them. And here I will present the following challenge. I will present the following challenge. For anyone who claims that he only follows the Quran and he does not follow the Sunnah, I say to him or her, my ex, not ex, oh, that doesn't sound right either, Mr. or Mrs. X, how do you pray? How do you pray? Show me how to pray Dhuhr. Show me how to pray Fajr and when. Show me how to pray Asr and when. Show me how to pray Maghrib. Show me how to pray Isha according to the Quran. Forget about it. You want to say the Quran only? Bring it on. Show me now, how do you start the Salah? When Allah says in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. How do you carry out this command of Allah without the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How come you pray 2 rak'at for Fajr? And how come you pray 4 rak'at for Dhuhr? And how come you pray 4 rak'at for Asr? And how come you pray 3 for Maghrib? And how come you pray 4 for Isha? How come? Where is your evidence from the Quran? Show me in the Quran this detailed breakdown of the units in the Salah and the actual things you say. How come you begin with Allahu Akbar? Where is that in the Quran? And why do you begin with the Fatiha? Where is that in the Quran? And then why do you recite a surah afterwards? Where is that in the Quran? How about the ruku' and what to say in the ruku'? Where is that in the Quran? You will not find anything in the Salah except that you have learned it in detail besides the general indications from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the same thing we can say about fasting, and the same thing we can say about zakah, and the same thing we can say about hajj and umrah. All of these we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyone who claims that the sunnah is not reliable because the sahaba were not reliable, then we say to him, bring to us alternatives. If you want to reject the sahaba and you want to reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you say that it's not reliable, then give us alternatives. How did you get the Quran? It is through the same means. This is what the people fail to understand. The Quran, the actual sanad, the chain of narrators with which we receive the Quran, is the same one with which we receive the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ. If you deny the latter, you have denied the former. If you claim that the Quran cannot be protected, the Sunnah cannot be protected, then you have claimed that the Quran cannot be protected. Because Allah says in the Quran two important ayat. In Surah Al-Hijr, Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily it is we who send down the reminder, and it is we who shall preserve it and protect it. Dhikr. Allah called it dhikr. And the scholars predominantly agree that the intent behind dhikr here is the Quran and the Sunnah. Because in the other ayah, in the Nahl ayah 44, Allah says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We send down the dhikr so you may explain to the people what was sent down to them. So in the ayah in al-Hijr, Allah said that he promised he will protect the dhikr. And the other ayah in Nahl, Allah said that the Prophet ﷺ will explain to the people the Quran, and he called it dhikr, meaning that dhikr is that, this dhikr is that dhikr. And Allah promised that he will protect the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now listen to this amazing fact. Listen to this prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though the case is as such, he said in an authentic narration, the hadith of Miqdam ibn Ma'd al-Yakrib. Miqdam Yakrib. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, I have been given the Quran and something similar to it along with it, speaking about a sunnah. But look what he said. But soon there will be a time when a man will be reclining on his couch with a full stomach, and he will say, you should adhere to this Quran only. What you find that it says is permissible, take it as permissible. And what you find it says is forbidden, take it as forbidden. But indeed, whatever the Messenger of Allah forbids is like what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forbids. Subhanallah. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prophesying the very exact situation of these individuals today who are, just they described, reclining on the couch, big stomach. He tells you, don't worry about the sunnah. Whatever the Quran says is halal, it's halal. Whatever the Quran says is haram, it's haram. That's it. But the Prophet ﷺ commented on this claim and he said, verily, whatever the Messenger of Allah makes forbidden, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever the Messenger of Allah makes forbidden is forbidden according to Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ speaks on behalf of Allah. Allah begins Surah An-Najm by saying, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. Allah swore by the falling star that your companion did not go astray, nor did he transgress or become deviant. Then he said, Allah Azza wa Jal, and he does not speak of his own will or desire. The Messenger of Allah does not speak of his own desire. It is nothing but revelation being revealed unto him. It is nothing but revelation being revealed unto him. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. The speech of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the teachings of Islam is a revelation from Allah, not secondary to the Quran, equal to the Quran. When we say the Quran first and the Sunnah second, we do not mean that in order of importance. We mean it in the order of numbering only. Meaning when we want to enumerate things, you begin with something and then you mention the next. Sometimes you begin, like for example, in a classroom, they may go by in alphabetical order, or maybe randomly. So the teacher will say, okay, now student number one, student number two, student number three, and he does not mean that student number one is superior to student number 30. So here, when we say the Quran first, the Sunnah second, we mean it in that sense. We do not mean that the Quran is most important and the Sunnah is less important. No. They are both equally important, equally valid, and equally revealed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they carry the same effect. However, the one distinction between them is that the Quran has been narrated by so many individuals, through so many chains, over such a long period of time, that it is impossible that there is any discrepancy or any mistakes whatsoever. Whereas the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ requires some scrutinizing, requires some verification. And Allah protected and preserved the Sunnah through scholars who dedicated their whole life in order to protect the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, so that today we have it collected in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and in Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawood, and An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, and Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah, and Ad-Darqutni, and all these books of narration collect the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, predominantly are authentic, with the minority that require verification. And that is from the preservation of the Quran and the Sunnah through the scholars who are the inheritors of the prophets. So no one can come and claim, no one can come and say after all this that the Sunnah is not reliable. Fear Allah. The Sahaba were recording the Sunnah at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for Abu Huraira that he memorizes narrations, and he memorized radiallahu anhu over 5,000 narrations, Abu Huraira alone. Then Aisha came second, and then the Sahaba. They used to memorize the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spend their lives keeping it intact, preserved, and they conveyed it to the students at Tabi'een, and the Tabi'een to Atba'i Tabi'een, and then to the scholars who collected them in books, and they remain until today. The originals remain until today. Subhanallah al-Azim. There's no science in the world like the science of Hadith. You have to keep in mind, Muslims came up with the science on their own. The science of chain of narrations, the sanad and the matin, it's a very sophisticated, complicated, complex science that Allah guided and blessed and inspired the Muslim scholars to put it together. Something that is not known to the whole world. They cannot make such a claim to any prophet but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that today we hear and we know what he said to Sahaba, and he commanded them to convey. Anyone who claims that the Quran is the only reliable source and the Sunnah is not, has denied tens of ayat in the Quran. Listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, for example, you know the hadith in Bukhari. Let me just quote the hadith in Bukhari. Ibn Mas'ud said that Allah curses the woman who, the people who get a tattoo, the one who does it and the one who gets it done. And the women who wear hair extensions and those who get it done. Even though the hadith mentions women, because predominantly it happens to women, it does not mean that it does not include men. And he cursed the woman who plucked their eyebrows. The woman who plucked their eyebrows and the ones who get the one who does it and the one who gets it done and the one who filed their teeth. Seeking beauty, he said, "Al-mughayyirati li khalqi Allah." Those who change the creation of Allah. A woman known as Yaqub, a woman heard that Ibn Mas'ud said that Allah cursed the woman who gets tattoo and the one who does it, the one who gets it done, the one who filed their teeth, the one who plucked their eyebrows, and the one who wear extensions, the wig or anything of this nature. So she came to him and said, "Where did you get this from?" He said, "It's in the Quran." She said, "I have read the Qur'an from cover to cover, and I have never come across such ayah." This hadith is in Bukhari. Ibn Mas'ud told her, "It is in the Qur'an. Did you not read the statement of Allah, 'وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ'?" He said, "Have you not read the statement of Allah? Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids you, then leave it alone and fear Allah." He said, "The messenger of Allah cursed them. And Allah told you that whatever the messenger of Allah gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you, leave it alone." And that means that Ibn Mas'ud was telling her that the Sunnah is a revelation like the Quran. This is how the Sahaba understood it. This is very interesting. Because she said, "I didn't read in the book of Allah." He said, "The messenger of Allah said, and Allah said in the Quran, whatever the messenger gives, you take it. Whatever he forbids, you leave it alone. If there was no such thing as sunnah, how will you understand this ayah?" Anyone who denies the sunnah, how will you understand this ayah? The part that says, whatever he forbids, you leave it alone. If you don't have anything that says the messenger of Allah forbade us from doing such and such and such, how would you apply this ayah? Anyone who undermines the sunnah has undermined the speech of Allah and has made tens, not rather hundreds of verses in the Quran meaningless. He has rendered them meaningless. Because you will find hundreds of them commanding you to follow and obey the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there was no such sunnah, these verses will be of no value, because the command of Allah is in the Quran. Where are you going to get the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from? Where are you going to get it from? In the Quran? It is not in the Quran. But in the Quran, Allah told you to obey the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah warned us, like in Surah An-Nisa and others, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who oppose the messenger beware that they may be afflicted with a trial
or they may be afflicted with a severe punishment. Let those who oppose the Messenger of Allah beware. If there was no sunnah, then how will you be opposing the Messenger? How would you understand this ayah? Muslims must refer back to the classical interpretations of the ayat according to the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and the early generations. And you will not find a single Muslim during these times who claim that only the Quran is reliable and the Sunnah is not. This is an innovation introduced by the Orientalists and by the Westerners who want to demolish Islam from within. So they spread and inject this poison in the minds of Muslims who do not have enough knowledge, may have good intentions, they may have good intentions but do not have sufficient knowledge, and they fall and they are trapped by these nonsensical arguments, which if anyone was to read the Quran and just reflect upon the meanings of the ayat, will never accept such a claim, because it is meaningless, it is impossible. Hundreds of ayat. Let me quote some of them to you. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Really, the only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we listen and we obey. That means that the Prophet ﷺ used to judge between the Muslims, and we believers will refer back to a sunnah. So if we do not have a sunnah to refer to, how will we be referring to his judgment? And if we don't have anything to refer to, if there's no judgment, then how would you understand the ayah when Allah included the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How will you understand the statement of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who have believed, respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ. Not إِذَا, it's not in the dual here, it's in the singular. Respond to Allah and His Messenger when the Messenger calls you to that which will give you life. If there was no sunnah, then how will you apply this ayah? How will you understand this ayah? What would be the meaning and the objective of this ayah? When Allah tells you, respond to Him when He calls you to that which will give you life. The sunnah will give you life. If you turn away from it, you will die spiritually, even if you are physically alive. You will die spiritually, even if you are physically alive. We cannot abandon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If we deny the sunnah, we have denied the Quran. If we have denied the Quran, we have denied Islam. Islam, even the non-Muslims, if you ask the non-Muslims, what is the Quran, what is Islam based on? They will tell you Islam is the religion brought by Muhammad, conveyed to the people today through his companions. If you deny the validity and the reliability and the authenticity of the Sahaba, then you have denied Islam altogether. Even according to the non-Muslims, you no longer have Islam. How did Islam reach us except through the companions? And how did the hadith come to us except through the companions? So this whole idea, this whole odd claim that you know the sunnah is not reliable is a very bogus and false one. And if you reflect on the Quran, you know in the depth of your heart, the sunnah is the second revelation. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. It is He who sent among the illiterate ones a messenger from among them. What does he do? يعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. He teaches them the book and the wisdom. The book and the hikmah, according to Imam Shafi'i and others, hikmah is the sunnah. He's teaching in the Quran. What is wisdom? And how would you learn the wisdom? If he's teaching them wisdom, and call it wisdom, don't call it sunnah, call it wisdom. Wisdom is the statements of the Prophet ﷺ, because Allah said the Quran, the kitab, and the hikmah, meaning they're not the same. When I say Ahmed and Mustafa came, meaning I'm not speaking about one individual. Quran and sunnah, the conjunction end denotes differences. We're speaking about two different entities. The Kitab, okay, the Quran. He teaches them the Quran. And he teaches them Hikmah. What is Hikmah? يعني you will have all these ayat become meaningless if you don't believe in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I call all the Muslims to really, you know, be very careful of where they get the knowledge from, and to be very careful, you know, when information is presented, make sure you ask for references, you ask for evidences, and most importantly, ask Allah to guide you. Ask Allah to guide you and learn the deen. If you learn the deen from the reliable sources, and if you ask Allah's guidance, and you say, at least in the Fatiha, if you are sincere when you say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path, then inevitably you will be guided. But we need to be careful of the tricks of Satan and following our desires, and they think we're some genius, you know, or philosophers. No, brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to check ourselves and stay humble. Now, we don't have such authority. Like I said, anytime someone wants to say the Quran only, Salam, you need, if you pray Dhuhr 4 rak'at, you are an innovator. Because the Quran doesn't tell you to pray 4 rak'at, so I want to know based on what are you praying for. And they will never be able to give you an answer. This is the silencing reputation. If they want to follow anything in Islam, they have no choice but to refer to the Sunnah. Anything they do according to the Sunnah, say, hey, you said you don't believe in the Sunnah, why did you pray? And if they say, Allah says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, say, okay, then you're accusing Allah of lacking wisdom. You're accusing Allah of giving you a commandment which He does not show you how to manifest it and how to express it. He does not show you how to carry it out. Allah will tell you, establish the salah and fast Ramadan, and He doesn't tell you what you need to do. It's impossible. It's impossible. Otherwise, you claim that the Quran is not Quran al-Mubin. It is not ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. You claim the Quran has doubt and the Quran is not clear, because there are instructions there which cannot be understood at all. Too general. So Allah's wisdom entails that the Sunnah will explain those general statements, and this is how you and I became Muslims. And this is exactly the meaning of the ayah in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 44, وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we send down upon you the reminder so you may explain to the people what was sent down upon them. That explanation is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom we ask Allah to guide all of us to. And we'll make this a short lesson, because really salah here in Jeddah for Isha comes in sooner than you guys would think. It comes in actually 13 minutes. So I have exactly 4 minutes for a Q&A, then I need to hit the door. So let's make it quick. Monitors, please. I didn't realize that salah is coming in so early. Perhaps maybe next week we will not be having a class. Next week, inshallah, we will not be having a class because it's Hajj. And so pardon me ahead of time. Next week, not Friday or Friday is fine. This coming Friday, there's a class. The coming Tuesday, inshallah's class is cancelled. Aywa. Quickly, guys, only got a couple of minutes. If you have no questions, life is good. I'm sorry. I must be going blind. Oops. My sister have gone for Hajj with my uncle, but my uncle's going. Okay, but my uncle is going through back pain. Due to that, he is not able to do volunteer tawaf. But if a woman wants to do tawaf with a group of women, can they do without a mahram? Yes. A woman is not required to have a mahram, يعني, in the Hajj itself, unless she winds up traveling. See, the mahram, the woman's condition is finding a mahram to travel with her, not a mahram to do Hajj with her. If a woman lives in Mecca, she can do Hajj. She does not need a mahram. This is like, as opposed to what many people think. The mahram is required for travel. Most women wind up traveling to do Hajj. But if he goes with her, and that she does tawaf on her own, this is totally fine.
even though the general recommendation is that a man is around her for protection purposes because of the crowds and the many people and the potential harm that may affect her, then it is highly recommended that a brother, is a mahram of hers, is around with her. But can she do tawaf on her own? Can she go do Rami al-Jamarat on her own without the mahram being with her? Absolutely. The mahram is needed for travel only, not for the actual rite of Hajj. And I can take one more question, inshallah. Beautiful. I want to get married because I feel that I may commit haram sins and temptations, and this leads me to fail all my exams. My parents think I'm a bad person, so what can I do? And if they think I'm a bad person, how can I accept? How can I accept me? I want to get married. My brother in Islam, this is too general to be addressed, in this fashion. The issue of why you're bad, what's the nature of the problem with your family, how old you are, what you're doing, all these are actually required before I can answer the question adequately. Otherwise, I may give you information that is not really suitable for you. So I do prefer that this question is emailed to me or otherwise, so I can address it in written form as opposed to verbally, because neither time allows me nor is the question clear enough for me to address it. And I seek your permission to leave, because I do have to catch the salah here locally. Jazakum Allah khairan, and accept my apologies for making this short dars. But inshallah, after we resume after Hajj, then we can try to make the dars earlier, so we'll have more time, because between Maghrib and Isha is a short time in Jeddah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.